Okay, yes, Wes.
Praise is that through the working of God, pretty soon we'll be able to have somebody drill our well.
Yeah. Awesome.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, water's pretty handy to have.
Be nice.
You really miss it when it's gone. Who else? Praise us. Just go crazy. You know, just.
Nobody's been out to look, but I'm going to start looking for somebody to shoot the hole.
Okay, I'll go next.
Go next.
I'm so excited about this. I'll never forget it, too. Valentine's Day. I didn't know what was going on Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
I turned on the television, and I saw it. I said, oh, no, not in my territory. And I call you. I call another pastor. No, I call a whole bunch of people. Psalm 91. Get on Psalm 91 and read it now. We got to get rid of these tornadoes. Ooh. I'm watching the television, right? I call this lady. She's in her car. I said, she lives in Texas. I said, listen to me. Psalm 91, girl. And she saw a priest. She said, I'm in my car. I said, pray then. And she prayed and asked God to turn a tornado away. I'm watching the news, right? And all of a sudden, I start hitting Galveston. I said, oh. And then all of a sudden, the guy said, oh, it's turning away. It's going. It's going. It's gone. It's supposed to hit Galveston, Tiki Island, Bayou Vista, Texas City, Lamarck. Mm-hmm. It disappeared. And listen to this. Psalm 91.
All right, go ahead.
Just one verse for you. Verse 15 says, you shall call upon me, Mary, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Call upon him. I said, that's my territory. Not coming there. We don't mess with tornadoes, man. Go somewhere else. Disobey. Oh, boy.
We thank you.
Guess what? And the lady I work for, I was at work, you know, she said, Mary, oh my. I said, don't worry. You know what she did? When I tell her I read Psalm 91 through, she just closed her eyes and go off to sleep. And she went through, and she wake up, she said, all over. I said, yeah, God protect your child. She said, oh, wow.
All right, who else has a praise? Yes, Jane.
I'm just thankful that Larry's surgery went well.
Yeah, it did. He enjoys. Got new eyes with no cataracts. I'm not even going to make a Lincoln Continental joke or anything, but all right, very good. Anybody else?
I went to Kroger like really early in the morning. And the Lord used me. Like this lady, I just so happened to like be in the restroom. I heard her crying and talking on the phone to her daughter, and I could tell something was upsetting her. So I left in the bathroom, but God was like, you go pray with her. And I was like, oh, Lord, okay. So I walked back over there. She's done talking on the phone. She was outside the bathroom. I was like, were you just in the bathroom? And she's like, yes. And I asked her if I could pray with her. And she let me pray with her. And it was just awesome. So
cool.
Anybody else? Yes, Vicki.
Well, Bubba and I have had an awesome result of our massive project of clean up around our home, and it took us all week and about killed us both, but I think we're getting pretty close to the end of it. We were able to send the pictures that the insurance company wanted, take care of everything, but that's where we've been, trying to kill ourselves outside, and you know, we're not the youngsters we used to be, so
no.
Manual labor stuff is not all it's cracked up to be.
I had that little bit of surgery on my back. The doctor, she told me, said, don't do any heavy lifting. I said, no much danger in that, but anyway, I try real hard not to do any heavy lifting. Yes. Okay, Genesis 30. This family that's continuing on. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Gentlemen, we will refrain our comments from this while the ladies are in the room. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. She comes to Jacob and she says, give me children or else I die. And that's not the way she said it. I'm really sure. She's really, really sure that. How would she have said that, ladies? What would that have actually sounded like?
You can't say that in church.
Okay.
You're not
trying. All right.
You're not trying.
And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. She finally tripped his trigger. She finally got under his skin. And he said, "Am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb?" Of the womb. He kind of fired back. She's blaming him, and so he wasn't very understanding, was he, ladies? He wasn't being very sensitive.
Yep.
And verse 3, this is just, here we go again. "And she said, Behold, my maid Bilhah, go into her, unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her."
My comment was going to be, if you can't provide me with a child, I'll find somebody that can.
Well, actually, in this culture, pretty sure she was not going to go there. That would have resulted in somebody getting stoned. And I'm not talking about smoking weed or anything like that.
She found someone that could give her a child.
And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her. So this is wife number 3. And Bilhah conceived, and Jacob bare a son. Jacob's upset, but I don't hear him arguing with her about this. I don't hear any comments about this.
No, Rachel's just not coming into his tent anymore.
Well, I don't know about that either. Something's happening. And Rachel said, "God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan." So Rachel's claiming this child, and he's Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, oh man, is there no end to this?
No.
She took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. Well, here's wife number 4. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. You know, there's a lot of men today who've had 4 wives. They just don't do it all once. But this is one of those situations about as crazy as the other. Oh, man, I didn't mean to go there.
I should have listened to him from the get-go.
I know 1.3 billion people have 7 wives.
What?
Today.
7 wives?
Yeah. In Turkey they do, yes.
In
Turkey?
Multiple
yes.
Children.
They have 7 wives?
And Leah said, "A troop cometh," and she called his name Gad, which means a troop. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed," and she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. And we're going to have some chemical and genetic experimentation going on here. Mandrakes are supposedly make you more prone to conceive. I don't know what they did with them. I don't know if they chewed them, ate them, whatever. They did something with them. She said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" So Leah's saying, "You took away my husband." I'm not sure how that computes in this whole scheme of things when she's the one that went in secretly on the first wedding night. So I'm not really, you know.
Weren't they like cucumbers?
I don't know. I didn't actually look that one up. I looked up a different one and did some research on a different line here for today. And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." Now this is getting
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Jacob's like this commodity now.
Yeah,
I thought I saw this on The World Turns or Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, this is like right out of Peyton Place or something.
Animal Planet.
It is. I mean, you know.
That's Animal Planet.
If I'd been God, there's just some things I'd have left out of the Bible, and this is probably one of them right here. But obviously that we need to know some of this. And so they make a deal. Them and Monty Hall get together, and let's make a deal. Jacob came out in the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, you're coming with me.
Yep, you've been hired out to stud.
Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. Ooh. And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Well, I wonder what they did wrong that time.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I just planted that just to see what the reaction would be. Dinah, well, you got to realize here, if it were not for this crazy Days of Our Lives mess going on here,
yeah,
we would not have the 12 tribes of Israel, would we?
Yeah.
It's a whatever it takes deal, I guess.
Originally wanted to marry Rebecca, and Laban made her take Leah because she was the older.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he got Rebecca after 7 years or 14 years or however many.
No, he got Rebecca the same day, but he had to work another 7 years to pay her off.
Yeah.
He got her on the easy payment plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leah's complaining, but Leah was never his intended. Leah's
wants
Jacob to love her, but
right.
Jacob just got her as, like, you know.
He loved Rachel more.
Yeah, he worked 7 years and tricked in.
Now, when it says that she was hated, I don't think it was the kind of hated that you think about. It was loved less versus the other one, so to speak. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph. And said, the Lord shall add to me another son. The Lord talks to Rachel. The Lord was talking to Rebecca, remember? That's how she knew that the younger is going to serve the older, or rule over the older, excuse me. And so he's talking to Rachel here too. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. So it has apparently been 7 years now. There's a lot of kids being born here. You got, what are we up to now? Six sons from Leah, Dan and Joseph. So we got eight. That's proper length of time for 7 years to go by. Yeah.
She gave him.
She's got a daughter.
Daughter.
Oh, yeah. Forgot Dinah.
And
oops.
Naphtali.
Yeah.
Naphtali, too.
Dan,
okay.
the 12 tribes
so
of Israel.
It may be past 7 years, but Jacob is determined that it's time to separate. Now he says, give me that I may go into mine own place to my country. He hasn't adopted the old homestead as his country, which is good because he's not supposed to. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. He said, no, you don't want to go, because I'm getting rich because you're here. That's basically what he's...
And remember
Laban?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to know where Laban is, follow the money, because that's going to be where Laban is. That's his deal. And so he says, well, give me my wives, let me go. And Laban said unto him, tarry. You just wait. And, of course, that's an italicized word. It's assumed. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. So he told him that before, hadn't he?
Yep.
And Jacob didn't really snap to how to bargain with Laban very well. So he's there. He's 14 years there now over that. And he said, to him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord has blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou will do this thing for me. Jacob has been thinking about this a while, hasn't he? He's had a dream or two. He's been thinking about what's going to happen, and he's ready this time. And he said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep. By the way, the word cattle is used generically for four-footed farm animals. Not just doesn't just mean they're cows. He moved brown cattle from among the sheep. He's still talking about sheep here. And the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. So Jacob has made a deal with Laban that he will serve him, and he says he's going to let his righteousness be the determination of whatever his reward is, which is not necessarily going to be the truth here. But anyway, they make a deal that all of the speckled and spotted critters that are born from this point on will belong to Jacob, and all the regular colored sheep that are just white will still be Laban's. Now, why do you think Laban agreed so quickly to this?
Because they're mostly white.
Yeah, I mean, the spotted and the unusual ones were a rarity among the herd. He's saying, man, this is going to be a good deal here, okay? But Jacob has been talking to the Lord, and he's been thinking, and he's been learning some things.
Is that a plan?
How to breed spots in the sheep?
Actually, yes. We're going to talk about that. Jacob has been watching this flock, and by the way, I did a little research. Sheep bear twice a year instead of once a year, like most wild animals. And there are some breeds actually can do more than that. But he's now had experience with about 28 breeding seasons, so to speak, so far that he's been observing in this particular herd. And so I don't know if what we're going to read about next comes from he learned this by observation or if the Lord revealed it to him and just showed it to him. We don't really know. He said, and he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straight and spotted and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted and everyone that had some white in it and all the brown among the sheep and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And so the sons took all of the spotted critters away, 3 days' journey, so they couldn't mix. And Jacob stayed and took care of Laban's sheep. Laban took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and peeled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink so that they should conceive when they came to drink. And, of course, you know, when they come to water, that's when they're all together, and that's when most of the breeding takes place.
I don't really get that part of it. It seems witchcrafty.
That's not sure.
Well, we'll find out. Let's just look at this. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked and all the brown and the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the flocks. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. Jacob is getting a little payback here, I think, at this point. There's a question that arises. Could the peeled rods actually change the DNA of the sheep and cattle? It's the DNA that determines the color of the hair. Could that actually, you know, is that something that's scientifically feasible, or is this just a special miracle from the Lord. What do you think?
It's from the Lord.
Only if it's a chemical thing.
It's from the Lord.
Well,
it's a combination.
Yeah.
One of the things you got to realize that all good things are from the Lord, whether they come through scientific operation or not. And who is the number one scientist of all time?
God. The Lord.
That's right.
God Almighty.
God has invented all science. He is the creator of it all.
That was pharmakia.
No, Jacob is just performing generic engineering in the beginning.
Yeah.
He is actually doing just that.
Pharmakia he was doing.
Well, that's, of course, in the New Testament. That's Greek, but back here it's a Hebrew word, but it's the same thing we're talking about. Could the peeled rods actually change the DNA of sheep and cattle? Looked up a little research on this. Much of the research on epigenetic changes, epigenetic is a term that means genetic over the top of other genetics. I don't understand how that is, but it's another stage to the genetics. Much of the research on epigenetic changes has been conducted in mice, specifically mice with a specific coat color called agouti. Agouti coats actually occur in lots of other animals as well, including gerbils, cats, dogs, and horses. The agouti gene determines where the black hairs appear in the animal's coat, and the appearance and the location of those black hairs can be influenced by nutrition. Specifically, nutritional elements like the free amino acids, methionine and choline. These are the two amino acids in the nutrients that seem to, in scientific experiments, have, when they're there in abundance, the coloration changes. Interestingly, in the account of Genesis, names the specific trees whose bark Jacob used. Livni, Lach, Luz, and Arman. These are the Hebrew names, which have been identified by Jewish scholar Rabinowitz as poplar, almond, and plane. And it just so happens that according to Dr. Joshua Klein, expert plant pathologist at the Israeli Ministry of Agriculture, these specific trees harbor fungi under their bark that are rich specifically in methionine and choline. So, it appears, based on some research here, that Jacob, by whatever means he learned it, learned that these particular three trees produced a different coloration in the animals. Now, he's watched 28 breeding seasons go by. Go ahead.
A friend, when he was a small boy, he was bitten by a rabid rat.
A rabid rat. Okay, go ahead.
And all his sons, he had three sons, two daughters, all his sons, their skins were blotched, like all their freckles had gathered in groups all over their body. In other words, none, and then blotches of like, looked like freckles, birthmarks. All three sons, but the daughters had no marks at all.
Yeah, there are a lot of weird things happen. One of the other studies that I read about was studies on those who had survived the Holocaust and had endured a tremendous amount of starvation, malnutrition. Their children were stricken with a number of serious illnesses, heart disease, cancers, and things like that, way above normal levels for this group because of that malnutrition. And the study went on to show that the grandchildren, the children of the children, had the same particular group of higher levels of these maladies as did the original ones, proving that the genetic effect was passed on to the following generations, even though they weren't malnourished, as it's what caused it in the first place. So this thing is going on here in Genesis 30 is not just some old wives' tale. Jacob's one of those guys that's always thinking. You know people like that. They're always thinking. I try to be always thinking, but it's not something that's necessarily easy to do.
Yeah, try to not think.
Well, but now you've got these particular trees. What do goats and sheep eat?
Grass.
They eat grass.
Well, they eat grass, but that's not all they eat.
Anything.
Well, deer, for example, deer won't hardly eat grass. They'll eat alfalfa, yeah. But just eating grass, that's not what deer live on. What do deer eat? They browse. They eat the tender little buds and the ends of the branches where the limbs are tender, yeah. And they're eating tree limbs and leaves. Then that's called browse. That's what they eat most of the time. I noticed the squirrels have been eating all the little tips off the limbs of my mulberry tree out on the front. And they're trimming them, too. Boy, they are. They're trimming them. I really think, and by the way, shepherds don't just have a bunch of sheep. Shepherds have Sally and Joe and Amos and Jacob. What did Jesus say about the sheep? I said, I know the sheep, and I know them by name. Let me tell you something. The shepherds stay with the sheep. They're out there every day, day in, day out, rain, snow, whatever. They're out there with those sheep. And they know their sheep and are known of the sheep.
He probably thinks that once.
I think, I researched this and I look at this, and I start with one known factor. I know the Word of God is true. I don't have any doubts. I'm not going to science to see if I can prove it's one way or the other. I know what God says is true. It's already been proven. But I want to learn as much as I can about it so that I can help others come to that same conclusion. You know, the Lord tells us about the dream that Jacob was given of the Lord. And he told him about the ring straked and the stripe and the speckled and all of that. This is where this whole scenario comes from. Is what God's already shown Jacob. But I don't read anywhere in it that God told Jacob about these particular tree limbs, what's under the bark, and these particular chemicals that are going to create this genetic difference. But Jacob has been watching these sheep browse, and he knows them by name. And this has been going on for 14 years and 28 birthing cycles in that 14 years. I have this sneaking suspicion that Jacob got to noticing that the sheep that were over here browsing in the chestnut, you know, what do you call a little group of trees, grove? Yeah. Yeah. That they're having spotted babies.
Yeah.
You know, guys that pays attention, mm-hmm. keeps his eyes open, looks around him, notices things.
Yeah.
He would notice something like that. He's figured out something here. And he's probably tested this before. Laban doesn't go out to check on the sheep.
Uh-uh.
Not since Jacob came.
That's right.
He doesn't need to show up. He doesn't go to work anymore.
Nope.
He just sends, you know, Jacob's taking care of it, and whatever Jacob touches turns to gold. And,
yeah.
And he's just, you know, he's just hanging out with the however many wives he's got left back home right now. So, here we go, and then we get up here to our modern days, and our scientists figure out that these two amino acids make mice have babies of spotted and all kind of different colorations. Yeah. And then some Israeli guy who's been reading Genesis, I wonder if these two trees have these. And sure enough, there it is. All this particular amino acids mm-hmm. are found in exceptional quantities under the bark. It's a fungus under the bark of these particular trees. Who would have thought it, huh?
I'd be surprised.
Which is why he killed them.
Does it ever surprise you that God and science, true science,
yeah.
always agree?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in God, I believe in the Bible, I believe in science.
Okay.
Here, let me tell you something. I need to say something nicer than well, you're an idiot, but you know, because the Big Bang is science. Big Bang's not science. Big Bang is not even science. It's not only not science, it's not even good fiction. Transspecies evolution is not science. There's nothing scientific about it. It's right up there with global warming. But anyway, go ahead. Somebody over here, Randy, go ahead. You had your hand up.
I've always read the newspaper, and I remember I was reading it, I think, when I was in the fourth or fifth grade, and there was an article, and I believe it stated, turning back time. Well, I read an article that a scientist was going back in time by the computer models of where all the planets were, and he couldn't get it to work out. And his colleague says, read the Bible. there's two incidents where God held this sun flare.
Right. Yeah.
And guess what happened?
Worked out.
It came out perfectly.
Yeah, it sure did.
Talk about being impressed at a young age. I'll never forget that. And I wish I could find it again, but it was just amazing. He goes...
Actually, NASA has done that same particular thing.
Yeah. That's it, right?
You can Google it and find it.
But it was just amazing that it just everything worked to a T when he adjusted all the time for what the Lord did.
Yeah.
Well, it just always does.
It's not amazing. It's
if you research something and half the time it turns out right, you know, it fits and this, you think, well, okay, that's probably true. The Bible's never been ever wrong about anything. Mm-hmm. The prophecies of the Scripture. The neat thing about the prophecies of the Scripture is that most of them have already come to pass. I mean, hundreds of prophecies are given in the Old Testament and New Testament have already come to pass. Yeah. And prophecies of the Bible are not generic, general sayings that could mean anything. They're very specific. They got dates and times and places and events and that are historically documented, not just in the Bible. And lo and behold, every prophecy of the Bible, except the ones we're still waiting on, have come to pass exactly. Not close, not similar, but exactly like the Bible said they would. We're talking about 70 years in Babylonian captivity. 70 years to the day the king sends them back. Mm-hmm. Yep. It can be measured on the calendar. It's right there. There's so many of these things. I mean, there's hundreds of them. Where Jesus is born, the temple destruction, all of these things. Jesus tells the disciples when they're looking at the temple in Jerusalem that, and they're thinking, wow, look at these buildings. This is amazing. And, you know, the thing about it is that the building blocks are like the size of this room. They're what is it, 54 or 64 metric tons each, the building blocks of the temple. Wow. And Jesus said, this temple is going to be destroyed, and this is Mark chapter 13, and there will not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Yep.
Now, that's not just a destruction. That's something very, very specific. So Titus, the Roman emperor, he comes through town. He's crucifying them by 500 a day, putting down rebellion, and he's going to teach these rebellious Jews a lesson, and boy, he does. He found out it would really upset them if he burned the temple, so he did. And then he goes on up, you know, up through Judea, burning and pillaging and doing all his raiding stuff that he's doing with his army. And then somebody, and I learned this from the History Channel, not from the Bible, okay? Somebody told him about the gold that was in the temple. You ever read about the gold in the temple?
It melted into and turned all over rock.
Yeah, it's not like there was, you know, a couple of pouches of gold in the temple. It's like you got spoons and dishes and all kind of stuff. The measurement of the weight of the gold in the temple was not in pounds or ounces, it was in tons.
Yeah.
There was so much gold. And where was it? It was hidden in the temple.
Yeah.
So he turns his army around and he goes back to Jerusalem. And he turns his soldiers into wrecking crew, and they take the temple, the burned out temple, apart, stone by stone, so that there's not a stone left upon another to get the gold that had all melted and run down. You tell me God's word didn't know what it's talking about. And there are hundreds of these prophecies. Every single one of them came to pass. It's in the history books. You can check it out exactly like God said it would be. This is not some kind of Nostradamus bad dream on mushrooms or something.
Yeah.
This is God's word being set forth, telling us what's going to happen. You don't, and now I get to sit down across the table with somebody and share this information with them. And they sit down at the table. They don't know if God's word is true. They don't necessarily believe it. But when we get through laying out the evidence that anybody can check out if they want to know, they walk away from the table believing with the heart that this is the word of God.
Right.
All because God has just left us, laid this out here for us. That's just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I could not prove that the Word of God is true, I would just go do something else for a living. I'll tell you that right now. And I can make a living some other way. I've done it. I can do it again. But it is true. And it stands no matter what.
Amen.
And I don't have to be shy about it. I don't have to second guess it. It is absolutely true, and not only that, I can prove it.
Amen.
I tell you, that gives you confidence.
Yep.
Remember when Jesus talked to people? They said it was not like the scribes. He had authority. That's what the Word of God gives us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It lets us teach and preach and learn from a position of real authority. So Jacob's getting rich now, and he has increased exceedingly. This is just exactly what God did with Abraham.
Right.
And Laban, he's still being blessed, but when it comes time to leave, he is not a happy camper. He made the deal, and now he don't want to keep it.
Yeah.
Did you ever make a deal you didn't want to keep?
We just finished up.
You had to keep your word.
Yeah.
You know those payments.
All about clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, those two. But Jacob didn't. He didn't just set the chemicals of that was from those trees before in the water troughs. He only put them in when the strong cattle came to drink. When the weaker of the herd, he kept them separated, and he knew. We have this idea in our age that people back in history that far didn't know anything. That they just weren't, you know, well, we're so smart, they couldn't have been very smart back then. Let me tell you something. Before the flood, we got experts in brass and ironworks.
Yeah.
Before the flood. We've got mechanical things that are being found today that are from before the flood.
He created man in the image of God.
And how smart can a guy get? You know, we talked about this when we were studying that part in Genesis, but how smart can a guy get when he starts out pretty sharp and lives 980 years?
Yeah, 900 years.
How much is he going to learn in that way?
A lot.
Yeah.
How much smarter are you?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Well, you should
see, Sal, how old are you now?
30.
How would you say your wisdom and your intellect were as compared to you 15 years ago?
Do we have enough room on that spectrum?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
It changes a lot in a short time.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the older you get, the less evident the changes are. But they're still happening. And they're still happening at a substantial rate. I just cannot even imagine the wisdom. I don't have near as much wisdom as I probably should have by my age at this point. Compared to what I had at 30 or 40 or 50, or it's a tremendous difference. And to live 900 years.
Yeah.
Say, was that literal? Yeah, it was literal. God knows the difference between a day and an hour and a year.
Yeah, back in the day.
Actually, he invented those.
Yeah,
he sure did. He invented time.
I wonder.
So he knows.
In the beginning.
The process would have been slowed down incredibly.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you look at us by the time, if you look at someone over 100 years old, they barely look like they're held together with spit and duct tape.
Yeah.
And
I would
imagine that after 100 years in this environment, that's how you should look. Right. But 900, I mean, they would be destined to share.
They didn't have the UV rays before the flood. They didn't have, all kinds of things were different before the flood.
Yeah.
Our medical science today, so it's supposed to be such a wonderful thing, and we're such experts, and they can almost make new people now. They're so smart. Let me tell you something. You go to the hospital, what are they going to give you for pain?
Drugs.
They're going to give you morphine, which we were using in the Civil War.
Yeah.
The same thing. It hadn't changed one iota. And they're supposed to be so advanced. Give me a break. I asked the doctor about that. He said, well, we have some better things, but the FDA won't let us use them. So. Too many side effects or whatever. Mark?
So then did Jacob stay for another 6 months then? So he had to wait till the sheep conceived, right?
20 years total.
No, yeah, he stayed. He stayed quite a while.
More years.
He stayed quite a while.
Yes.
I don't know exactly how long, but it was pretty good. It was enough time to have built that herd substantially, and that didn't happen quick.